today is today, and yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
So live today, so the future today will be as the past today, as it is tomorrow.
Got that?
What?
I'm scratching my head here. Is that a public service announcement?
I don't know what it is. I don't think it's real.
Is it? I don't. Fall back and spring forward.
I don't
what
think
day
it's
is in, today. In all, I'm lost now. Am I in tomorrow or?
It's so funny though.
Can you play it again? I want to make sure I got this down.
Right, here we go.
Today is today, and yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. So live today, so the future today will be as the past today, as it is tomorrow.
You got that?
It has to be fake.
It is. It's got to be fake. That's not real. I mean, it does sound
actually
very accurate, but this particular one, I believe, is not real.
Wow. Those deep fakes, man. You got to be careful of those. 888-914-914. My head's going to be working on that one for a while. Have an email here, and I want to read that to you. Let's see. Where did it go?
Hey, while you're finding that, I have one.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Erica in Albuquerque. She says some nice things about you that I'll just forward to you later. But her question is, is it appropriate to bring my dog on a Good Friday walk? I have a Pyrenees who is very sweet around people, but I don't want to distract or be irreverent. However, it's a good opportunity to walk him and drain his energy. And the priest said last year that it was okay. I don't think he realized that it's a 90-pound animal, though. What are your thoughts?
Huh. Okay. Well, the size, the shape, the color, the breed, the weight of the animal has no bearing at all. So to answer the specific question, sure, you can take your dog for a walk on Good Friday. There's no church custom against that. I'm surprised that she would wonder about that. I'm trying to remember the lady's name, the lady who wrote.
Erica.
Yeah, Erica, I'm surprised it would even enter your mind as a question, but fair enough. But the answer is there's no problem whatsoever with walking your dog, regardless of size or breed, on Good Friday, if you wish. The church's admonition or exhortation, perhaps better, is that in a way similar perhaps to how we keep the Lord's Day holy, the first day of the week, Sunday, on Good Friday, because the Lord died for your sins and mine, and he went through such excruciating pain in his passion, that it's a good thing, if possible, to try to observe the reason for our commemorating the Lord's Passion on Good Friday. And that would be, you know, avoiding things like parties or dining out. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but, you know, to have a big party after work and go out to eat with nice food and whatnot on Good Friday, obviously you'd want to avoid things like that. But those are more in the category of guidelines. Now, there are certain rules that we must obey. For example, no meat on Fridays during Lent. That's actually a discipline for all the Fridays throughout the whole year. A lot of Catholics don't know that, but it's specifically forbidden for the Fridays during Lent, as well as Ash Wednesday. So abstaining from meat on those days and fasting in the case of Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Those would be examples of what, okay, you know, here's a rule, and we as Catholics are obliged to follow this rule. And yet the spirit of the day that we're commemorating can lead you to choose to do things that are more in keeping with that, like avoiding parties or something like that. So I hope that helps. Did I get all of it, Cyrus, or was there any more to that one?
I think you covered it.
Okay, yep. Cool. 888-914-9149. That number is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Here's a note that came in from Joe, and he says, your reading of Lumen Gentium, that's a document from Vatican II that I read last week having to do with salvation. He says, that was one of the most demotivating, and that's all in caps, moments I have ever experienced. You should never read it again. It sounded like unless a Catholic blots out every single sin from his or her life now, immediately, he or she is going to hell. Well, of course, the document didn't say anything of the sort. You're reading that into the document, Joe, but okay. He says, I have to ask, where does holiness end and prideful piety and scrupulosity begin? Well, it begins and ends in your own heart. And I think that's not exactly the question you're asking. You mean, how do you know the difference? It's not always easy to know the difference. This is true in life in general. But the motivation is the key to understanding it, Joe, it seems to me. So if you're motivated to cultivate virtue and to be holy out of love for God, well, that would seem to displace the weed of pride and scrupulosity. So maybe if you're struggling with that, ask the Lord to give you a right motive. If you're not struggling with it, it's just a rhetorical question, fair enough. But if you are, I would say ask the Lord to give you the right motivation to seek holiness because you love God and He wants you to be holy. He says, if you try to eliminate every bit of sin from your life so that effectively you will not have to rely on the mercy of God, is that not the flip side of the coin from the sin of presumption? Well, you're hitting the bullseye on the wrong target here, Joe. The whole point, the whole project of Christianity is not to eliminate every bit of sin from your life so that you will not have to rely on the mercy of God. It's seeking to remove, to eliminate every bit of sin from your life because you're relying on the mercy of God. What does St. Paul say? He says in Ephesians 2, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is a gift of God. This is not something that you yourself do and take credit for. This is God's grace. So the whole point is that you do indeed want to remove sin as much as you can and avoid sin as much as you can because of God's mercy and grace, without which you couldn't do anything. And then he finishes by saying, isn't this equality with God something to be grasped at? Or he says, is equality with God something to be grasped at? Well, no, but you're not seeking equality with God. You're seeking to do what Jesus himself said. Remember, Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What? What, Jesus? That sounds a lot to me like scrupulosity and prideful piety. No. Jesus says, be perfect. What does that mean? It means that you open yourself up to and cooperate. In other words, you don't stay close to it and you don't resist it, but you cooperate with the graces that God wants to give you so that you can grow in holiness. It's not something to be grasped at, and it's not seeking to be equal to God. No creature can be equal to God, obviously. So he says, I can't imagine how anyone who spends his or her life crawling along the edge of that razor can ever experience anything even remotely related to joy. What's more, I don't believe that is what Jesus wants for us. Well, you're right on target there, Joe, because that's not what Jesus wants for you. The way you've described it is certainly not what Jesus wants from you. It's certainly not what the Catholic Church teaches. It's certainly not what Lumen Gentium has to say on the issue. So I think maybe part of the corrective here would be to reread that, if you're inclined to reread it, but reread it without interpolating into it things that are just simply not true. None of those things is something that the Church teaches. I hope I answered that question. Thank you. 888-914-9149. How about Fides now in San Francisco? Hello, Fides.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have not two questions, but I'd like to get the title of the book regarding suffering. I have a coworker who is, together with her family, are suffering because they lost their 5-year-old daughter. She drowned in the swimming pool. He came up to me and was relating everything, and he thinks that their marriage is now on the rocks because the wife could not, doesn't know how to deal with it. That's how he says. But I said, because it's only like a year, I told him that, you know, it's very difficult for a mom to lose a child.
Or a father, too. I mean, moms don't have a special corner on that market. What a terrible thing. My condolences to everybody involved. It's devastating for any parent, mother or father. So First of all, the name of the book, at least if it's the book I'm thinking of, one I recommend often, it's called Making Sense Out of Suffering.
Oh, Making Sense Out of... And who's the author?
That's Peter Kreeft, K-R-E-E-F-T, Making Sense Out of Suffering. Now, my advice, if I can offer advice here, Fides, would be that you encourage this couple to get into grief counseling. Because if their marriage is being strained by this, that, I mean, obviously they should stay together. They love each other and they don't want to lose this because of the grief. So grief counseling can really help them work through this in a way that will help them deepen even their marriage. Okay. So that's what I would suggest, grief counseling. And in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, go to the website. You can find the Marriage and Family Department. They will have resources and referrals that can help with that. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike now in West Virginia. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Patrick. Good morning. Sorry, give me just a second.
No problem. Sounds like you're hosing the sidewalk down there.
Okay. No, I'm with you.
Okay.
I always do that to you. I'm always working and I always have to turn my Bluetooth off. First off, just to let you know, the clip you played of what sounded like the vice president was actually a lady who has an internet channel, and I don't remember her name, but she's actually very funny. If you can find her, that's what she does, is impersonate the vice president, and she's hilarious. But anyway, the reason I called was to respond to the email that you had read a little while ago. The lady that said she liked you, but you weren't telling her what she needed to hear. I can't remember exactly how it was.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I read it this morning, and she said, All I hear is legalism and condemnation.
Yes.
Yeah, that lady.
Okay. I don't want to criticize her. I just want to, give a real quick, look into, I was where she was at one time. I struggled with mortal sin. And it was the sin of, getting drunk. And, when I was in that place, I didn't, I felt the same way. I didn't want to hear it either. I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to your program and lots of programs on Relevant Radio and other stations as well. And I kind of felt similar to the way she did. And then I finally realized, just to speak to my own experience, that the reason I didn't want to hear it and the reason I was in that place was because I wasn't ready to truly repent of my sins. The problem wasn't what anybody was saying. The problem was what I personally didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And when I finally got to the place where I was ready to truly repent for my sins and I was ready to admit to myself that it wasn't okay to get drunk on Saturday night and just go to confession on Sunday morning, then I realized that the problem was mine all along. It was never the problem that somebody was telling me something that I didn't want to hear, or you weren't telling me the right things. So I just wanted to share my experience for anybody listening who may feel similar to how that email was. And just,
how did you get out of that? Say, yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. How did you get out of that syndrome of, sort of the chronic drunkenness? What flipped the switch for you that helped you get out of that?
Honestly, I don't know if this works for everybody, but it worked for me. And when you truly open your heart to the Lord and you do it for Him, it makes it really, really easy. It did for me. When I decided that I didn't want to disappoint God anymore, that I didn't want to be that person, and that I didn't do it just for me, I did it because I wanted to do it for the Lord, and I wanted to be the person that the Lord wants me to be. That made it easy for me. I just turning it over, as cliche as that sounds, but it's the truth. I just turned it over to the Lord and decided to do it for Him.
That's the key. Yeah. What does the Lord say to St. Paul? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So just allowing that God's grace to work in its own way, its own time. That's good to hear, Mike, and I'm glad you weighed in on this topic. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Philip now in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Philip.
Yeah, I have a brother who's he's a non-believer, and he's sort of depressed now because the people he knows has died, and he's he asked, I offered him surprise by truth, and a classic Catholic conversion. He wasn't interested in books about conversion, but he sometimes acts like he's interested in faith. Is there any books I could have him read, or what book would be right for someone like that, or what writings?
Well, there are a lot of different. Was he raised as a Catholic, or was he not raised?
No. My mother was Catholic, but my father wasn't. He's never been a Catholic.
Okay, so he doesn't really know the Jesus story, does he?
Well, I mean, he knows it. Like one who studied history, or you know, he has some friends who are Catholic, but he's a non-believer, I guess. Or
yeah, no, I understand what you mean. What I mean is, he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know the story. He knows about Jesus, it sounds like, but he doesn't know much about Jesus. Okay. So I would suggest this. You could get this online if you want to. You can get it at your local Catholic bookstore, but I would get him a New Testament, a Catholic New Testament, and they're easy to get. They're relatively small, so it's not this gigantic, gigantic tome. But if I were you, I would give him that and recommend that he read the four Gospels. Start there. You start with Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. And let him understand the story of Jesus and let Jesus speak to him in the pages of the Gospels. Then, of course, Acts of the Apostles and the other parts of the New Testament will fill in more. But the one that I've given away and the one that I particularly like, I find it helpful, is the St. Joseph New Catholic Version of the New Testament. And it's got a kind of leather, maybe it's imitation leather, I don't know, but it's like leather. So it's a beautiful little book, but that to me is the best place to start. Start with Jesus and let him encounter Jesus in the Gospels.
Well, he has some friends who are interested in Fatima, and he does send them things that he thinks they'd be interested in, so he knows about these things, but I don't know, but he seems so depressed. So then you say that with the New Testament, then.
I don't think you could go wrong with that. Let Jesus speak to him. You know, now there are a million and one other books, but if he's listless and depressed and doesn't really know, he doesn't really know what he's looking for, probably.
No.
Jesus will tell him, I'm looking for you.
He's never been married and didn't have any children. So
that sounds like it's part of it. Well, give that a try, and if at all possible, encourage your brother to start listening to Relevant Radio. He may hear something on this program or any of the other programs that will speak to his heart and give him more impetus to move forward. And if he lives in a place where we've got a Relevant Radio station, we have about 220 of them all around the country. But if he doesn't have a station near him, he can always listen on the Relevant Radio app. Maybe you can encourage him to put that on his phone. And to find out if there's a station where he lives, just go to relevantradio.com, and under Listen, you'll see a list of all the stations. I hope that's helpful, Philip. Thank you for that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show. And as we conclude our Lenten season and draw near to the Easter Triduum, use this Holy Week to prepare your heart and mind with Close to Jesus to the Last. Every 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, we'll pause with Father Rocky to delve into the events of Christ's last days before his passion, leading up to the resurrection. You'll find a guide to all of this at relevantradio.com/holy-week. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. info@charitymobile.com.
I hope you don't mind, but I made a song for the Patrick Madrid Show. It goes something like this. Patrick Madrid, you can listen to him on the Relevant Radio. I said the Relevant Radio. You like?
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
That guy's pretty good.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, it's a good song. Hard to dance to, though.
Well, not for someone with blue suede
with
shoes
moves?
Like yourself.
I thought you were going to say with your moves. You could probably dance to that. 888-914-9149. Let me say it over again. 888-914-9149. Don't want to go too fast. I was listening to the Charity Mobile spot that we played during the break, and it reminded me, jogged my memory. One of you sent me an email in the last week or so saying, well, is it a sin? I forget exactly how it was put, but worse to the effect is, would it be a sin for Charity Mobile to be using, you know, the top cell network in the country, which it does, by the way, the best, the most, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for? The most ubiquitous. Would it be a sin if that company, whoever owns it, one of the big ones, for example, if they are giving money to abortion? Would it be a sin to have Charity Mobile? Well, the answer, of course, is no. One reason, of course, is that Charity Mobile exists, among other reasons, to divert your hard-earned money to pro-life charities as opposed to big abortion. So it's an offset against big abortion and the donations that go to big abortion. That's one of the things that I really like about Charity Mobile. So check them out at charitymobile.com if you want to see what I'm talking about. And you also see the network map as well. It just basically blankets the entire United States. But I got to thinking about that question. I thought, here's a way that you can maybe analogize it, make an analogy out of it. To use a phone network that is owned by, let's say, a company that promotes or at least gives money to big abortion would be similar to driving on the roadways in a state like California or New York that promotes abortion. Are you committing a sin if you get in your automobile and you get out on the open road, you get on the 5 freeway in Southern California or the 10 freeway heading out to San Bernardino or the 101, you're not committing a sin by making use of the roadway that was built by a state that supports abortion. You see the connection here? So maybe if you think of it that way, you can see you're not participating in it. You're not promoting it. You have no intention whatsoever to be associated with abortion and to make use of lines and towers and things like that. To my mind, at least, by way of analogy, would be similar to driving on the streets and highways and freeway systems in a state that supports abortion. So I thought that might be helpful to you. And while I'm at it, I was thinking over the weekend about a topic that we've discussed on the program before. This is just a little tidbit I thought I'd share it with you. And this has to do with how we as human beings communicate through speech and writing and how that's so different from how angels communicate. Angels don't have ears, obviously. They're non-corporeal beings. They're pure spirits. So they don't have ears or eyes or any sense organs. They don't speak in a language the way we think of speaking in a language. And the difference is that angels communicate with pure thought. In other words, in English, let me use this as a way to describe what I'm talking about. Regardless of what language you speak, but since most of us here speak English, when I say a word, if I say taco, that is a symbol for the reality of what a taco is. So in different countries, obviously different languages, there are different words to mean the same thing. So like the word for, I don't know, let's say the words for having dinner are going to be that in English. There'll be something else in Spanish, something else in Russian, Chinese, etc. So there's symbols, not the actual thing itself. And similarly, when we write, we're writing with symbols. So if I wrote you an email, those squiggles, the pixels on the screen, or if I hand wrote something, those squiggles with my pen, those are symbols. And they create a buffer between the actual thought itself and your understanding of the thought. Angels don't have that. They don't need that. They're at a higher level of communication than we are. So they don't use symbols. They just convey pure thought. The meaning is immediate. It doesn't rely upon symbols. And so here's what I'm leading up to. I was thinking about this and thinking, well, how can we understand that in human experience? And I came up with two examples. The first one is music. Music does not use symbols. Joke, LOL. I don't mean cymbals like the crashing cymbals in a orchestra. I don't mean that. But the way word symbols are conveyed through speech and in writing, music is not that. Music is pure and immediate. You don't need a symbol to explain what the music is conveying to you. You just, it conveys it directly to you. So I thought that might be one way to think about how the angels communicate. In our experience of music, it doesn't need symbols. It comes right to us in its purest form. And the other thing is color. We have words for colors, red, black, white, green, etc. But you don't have to, you don't need a word to experience the color itself. So when you look at, you know, a green object of whatever sort, or red or blue, the immediacy of the reality of the color is immediately in your mind. It doesn't require a word as a symbol of that because it doesn't need symbols. It is purely given right to your mind. And I suppose if we thought about it long enough, we could come up with any number of other examples of that by way of analogy. But that was on my mind this weekend, and I thought I'd share it with you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Karen now in New Jersey. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, Patrick. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Being that it's Holy Saturday, this Saturday, I lead rosary on Saturdays. Are we supposed to cancel that?
No. Why would you cancel it? Well, no, you wouldn't. Okay, so Holy Saturday, part of the Triduum, is set aside as a kind of mini liturgical season in between Lent and the Easter season as the sort of final sprint of preparation of your heart and your mind for celebrating Easter. But there's no reason to cancel prayer. I mean, to cancel praying the rosary, which is a very good prayer to pray every day of the year. There would be no need to do that. In fact, I would say it'd be counterproductive to do that.
Okay, thank you. Several people have told me I'm supposed to cancel it. So no. I figured you would know. Thank you.
No, yeah, you could tell them they're being overly cautious. Pray the rosary. What does Our Lady say when she appears in Fatima and elsewhere? She says, pray the rosary, except on Holy Saturday. Don't pray the rosary that day. No, she just says, pray the rosary. And it's a prayer every day of the year that we should pray.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Karen. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know where people get these unusual ideas. I mean, who knows? People sometimes become a little fearful or worried that they're not saying it the right way or on the right day. I mean, the church has her customs, that's for sure. And the customs are good and praiseworthy, but you have freedom to pray the rosary, for example. Any mystery of the rosary that you wish to pray, you could pray that any day of the week. There are customs as to which days traditionally you would pray, like the Sorrowful Mysteries on Friday as an example. But if you pray the Joyful Mysteries on Friday, you're not doing anything wrong. You have that freedom to be able to do these things. So I'm here to help, though. If you have a question wondering about that, please don't hesitate. 888-914-9149. How about Ben now in Miami? Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Patrick. Patrick, I'm calling you. I've been having a lot of depression for the last 6 months, 8 months. Okay. Anxiety, and this stuff getting into my head that I want to take my life. I've been going to see a psychiatrist, but the medication she's sending me is not working at all. And I wonder if Jesus would be mad at me if I take my life.
All right, let's pause right there. Do not take your life because, number one, God gave you life so that you can know him, love him, and serve him in this life and be happy with him forever in the life to come. So God has a plan for your life, Ben. He loves you. You wouldn't be here if he didn't love you. He brought you into existence because he loves you. So just press pause on that thought about ending your life. God has a plan for you. Right now, you're going through a difficult time, but that'll improve. Can you remember back in your life when things were good and you felt good?
Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not my place to try to offer a diagnosis or anything like that. I don't have that training, but I can say that just as in the past, there were good times when you felt good and you felt hopeful, and those times are ahead of you. You're going through a difficult time right now. You're going through a time of darkness or like a storm. but eventually the storm will pass and things will get better again. That's the first thing I want to just reassure you. So like if let's say it's a cloudy day and it's gloomy and dreary outside, and you know that even though that day or maybe the next day or maybe a couple of days it's going to be like that, but you know that in due time the sun will come back out again, right? That gloom will go away. So I just want to encourage you to put this thought out of your mind. Whenever it pops up, just push it away. No, I'm not going to take my life. God has a plan.
I'm trying, but it, the voice in my head just keeps telling me, do it. And I don't know where else to go.
I'm going to give you some practical advice here. But that first advice, though, I would urge you, just keep pushing it away. You know, your life is worth fighting for. And your life is a gift from God. So don't throw it away. God has a plan for your life. And he wants and he will help you regain that sense of peace and happiness. So whenever that call comes in, you hang up on it. Don't listen to it. You know who wants you to commit suicide, Ben? The devil.
The devil.
Of course. That's his voice whispering in your ear. Now, I'm not saying that there may not be some clinical depression issues. I mean, that's all something that you need to go to the proper, you mentioned a psychiatrist, you need to continue with that, maybe get a second opinion or a referral or change of medication. Those are areas that I have no expertise in. But I can tell you that the message, kill yourself, just do it, that's from the devil. That's not from God. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says the devil is a liar and a murderer. That's what he wants, is to derail you and, if possible, make you take that step that you're not going to take, Ben, right? You're not going to take that step. You're not going to do that. Don't listen to that message. So some practical things. 988 is a hotline you can call. As soon as we hang up, call that number, please. They have people 24/7 standing by who can talk with you and give you good practical advice. I mean, they can talk to you for as long as you need to talk. Here on the show, I have breaks and things like that that get in the way. But so did you jot that number down?
The radio. Yes, 988. I have always listened to you on the radio, and today is like the worst I've been in a long time. And I'm taking my medication, but.
Okay, so that's the second thing I was going to say is if this is not working, and I'm not a medical doctor, I can't give you any medical advice. I'm just offering my opinion based upon what I think you should do, and that is check in with your psychiatrist and say either this medication is making it worse or at least it's not helping. What can we do to help me get through this? And he or she will have alternatives. And if you don't get any kind of relief, then maybe seek a referral to a different psychiatrist.
Okay.
Go to an emergency room at your local hospital. If things get acute, if you're feeling like there's just no, that you're just at your wit's end, you don't know what to do, just drive down to the local emergency room and tell them, and they will help you on the spot.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay. Pray for me, please. I pray for you.
I will. I promise you that. So how about this, Ben? Do me a favor. Will you call me back in a week and give me a status report?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, thank you, Patrick.
I'm going to be waiting for you to call me. I'm counting on you to call me. Will you do that?
Okay, Patrick. Yes, I will.
All right. I promise you our prayers.
Please pray for me.
I certainly will. We will all pray for you. But please call that number, 988. When we hang up, you call that number, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. And do not listen to that voice in your head. Turn it off. That's the devil speaking. Okay.
Yeah.
And get better medication if necessary, but stay the course. It will get better. You will go through this storm at some point. Thanks, Ben. Hang in there. Okay. Time out. We'll be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info@charitymobile.com.
Keeping it relevant. It's The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
I'm so glad you didn't chop that one off at the crucial moments.
I wouldn't do that to you. Come on. What do you take me for? Hey, I have a nice email here that just came in from Catherine.
Okay.
I think you'll like this. Patrick, and this is about the email you had read earlier about the from Anne. I don't know if you remember
the first
that
email
one.
Of the day.
Yeah.
She didn't hear. How did she put it? She only hears legalism and condemnation.
That's right.
From me. Okay.
So Catherine here says, I could not respectfully disagree with Anne more on your show about not giving hope. Listening to callers like George and Aaron and hearing how gentle you are with them and what good advice you give, hearing all the calls and the emails about listeners praying and giving their support has brought me to tears. It gives me hope. And that's Catherine. She's listening on the app.
That's so nice of you, Catherine. Thank you. Well, that makes me happy. I'm glad to hear that. And I hope that's the majority of you. I kind of get that impression, but you know, there are people like Anne who just, it just doesn't do it for them. And I can accept that. It's not for everybody, perhaps. I hope it's for most everybody, the show that is. But for those who just don't find what they're looking for here, I hope that you'll stick around long enough to find that maybe there is something here for you. But if it's just relentless and you're not getting anything out of it, or you find yourself repelled by it, then go with my gratitude for listening as long as you did. And who was this one again from, Cyrus?
This was from Catherine.
Catherine. Thank you, Catherine. Kind of you to take a moment to share that. Let's go to Gail now in Michigan. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Patrick. And I pray for Ben. Jesus would send intervention immediately into his life.
Amen. Amen.
I've got a question about the Passion reading yesterday. Mm-hmm. My husband and I were puzzling about it a little bit. In verse 51 of the Gospel from Mark, Mark chapter 14, verse 51, it says that there was a young man who followed them right after Jesus was arrested. Right. There was a young man following them who was covered by nothing but a linen cloth. And as they seized him, he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Mm-hmm. And that just strikes us as so random in there, but it must have some merit for including it. So I'm just wondering if you can kind of enlighten us on that.
Yes, I'm going to turn to the fathers of the church and the Bible scholars who look at these enigmatic passages and help us understand what they mean. And as I understand it, this is a reference to St. John. We don't know with certitude because it doesn't say with certitude. But St. John often would refer to himself in the third person. So he's known for that. So as I understand it, that could easily have been a reference to himself. He ran away. This is an interesting and enigmatic detail. He ran away. He was, St. John himself was in the garden with Jesus. He was with Peter and James. So he was nearer to Jesus than the other apostles and disciples were. And he runs off into the darkness. So you know, perhaps we're told he was sleeping, so perhaps he had taken off his outer cloak or something like that. I mean, it's really, as I say, it is a mysterious kind of passage, but it is interesting that he's the only one who is there at Calvary. So he is there at the foot of the cross and putting himself at some significant danger. But that's my understanding of that passage and that young man who's not named. I'd have to consult commentaries to see what other theories there may be, but that's my understanding of that one.
Okay. So there's nothing more in-depth about the symbolism or anything like that?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm quite sure there is. I just don't have okay. You know, that that knowledge immediately on the front of my brain. I wish I did, but commentaries are very helpful. So if you were to get the commentary, I'll give you an example. There's a New Testament series. Actually, they have the Old Testament too. It's called the Navarre Bible. That's an anglicized pronunciation of it. But the Navarre Bible, have you seen that? It's got each gospel in a separate volume. Have you seen that one?
I've heard of it. I don't know that I've actually seen it.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're easy to get, and they're readily available at your local Catholic bookstore if you have one, or you can order it online. But it has the text of Scripture. It also has commentary from the church fathers on that topic, and I think it also includes the catechism as part of the commentary. It's been a while since I've looked at one of them, but that would be a readily obtainable commentary that would give you some patristic comment on this. And if there's time during the next break, I can't guarantee it, but I will look in the Catena Aurea, which is the golden chain. That's what that means in Latin. It was compiled by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it gives for every verse of the New Testament, I'm sorry, of the Gospels, St. Thomas compiled the testimony of the Church Fathers and their commentary on each one of these verses. So I will need to get that volume out and take a look at what it has to say from Mark's Gospel. And if there's something different from what I had to say, I'll be sure to announce that as soon as I can.
Okay. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And no, you come across as very loving and merciful in my mind when I listen.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Gail. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Have a good Holy Week.
Yes, you too. Gosh. As I'm thinking about this, if those of you who are interested, you heard me talk about the Catena Aurea. That, again, means the golden chain. And you may say, where may I get the Catena Aurea? Well, you can get it, you know, in book form. That's how I have it. But you can also get it on your phone really easily. And I don't think it costs anything, actually. And that is in an app called IPIETA. So the letter I, then P-I-E-T-A, PIETA. And that is an app that has an amazing amount of information on it. Now, of course, the very best app in the whole universe is the Relevant Radio app. You know that. But if you want an app that's got the Holy Bible, it's got the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas Aquinas, it's got multiple Bible commentaries, it's got the Catena Aurea, it's got just a massive amount of information. If you take a look on your app store, I have no connection with this, by the way, so I benefit in no way from this, from telling you this. But it is, I think, free, and it is at your fingertips. So you can easily fire it up and look at, well, let's see what the Church Fathers said about Mark chapter 3, verse 15, and you'll be able to find it there. So unless things have changed, I'm not aware that there's even a charge for this app. If there is, it's news to me. But that's something you can carry with you on the fly, just like I do. So if you're standing in line, as I have done before, at the DMV, wondering what to do with yourself as you're waiting for your number to be called, that's something you can do. 888-914-9149. By the way, another thing you can do is complete your Lenten journey with Close to Jesus to the Last. It's a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before his passion. Father Rocky will guide you, and this is going to be for an hour at 11 a.m. Central and 6 p.m. Central during this time between now and Easter, where you can ponder the events that culminate in Calvary and explore them with specially selected music and prayers today through Good Friday. And you'll find all of this information by going to relevantradio.com/holy-week. I know it's you just got to think about that dash in there, relevantradio.com/holy-week. Let's go to Rachel now in Illinois. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. So I just wanted to give a just brief message of hope to Ben. I myself had struggled with depression and kind of suicide ideation throughout my young adult life. It has been 8 years since I know without a doubt that the Lord sent me just the help that I needed at the time. And I just wanted to affirm everything you had recommended, but also just strongly suggest, if he is still listening or for anybody else out there, that just inpatient programs at local hospitals, 72-hour holds, they can be life-changing. And I am kind of proof of that. That is what saved my life. And even just getting to the point where crying out to the Lord, even if in those moments you don't want to live, but just praying like, Lord, give me the desire to want to live. And he will definitely answer it. But everything he was saying about just the voice, keep telling him over and over again. I knew exactly what he was talking about at my lowest point. It was just a total spiritual assault. And the best way and kind of the easiest way I can describe it is just every fiber in my being just kept screaming out those horrible things. And by the grace of God, he sent me the right people at the right time. So just wanted to give kind of that message of hope. I heard Aaron last week and Ben this week, and I was debating on calling in just because it is kind of personal, but I just want them to have hope. The Lord can work in this. And after I had gotten help that year, I unfortunately lost three people very close in my life to suicide within months of each other. So it is so devastating. And I am praying for both Aaron and Ben. So I just wanted to call and say that.
That is very thoughtful and gracious of you to do that, Rachel. So I just want to make sure you're doing okay now, right? Which you described as not happening anymore.
Correct. By the grace of God, this is probably the most joyful I've ever been in my life. And I'm very involved in my parish. And one of the things that they taught us was, you know, make a plan. So when you are starting to have any depressive thoughts or going down that road, to make a plan of what to do. And by the grace of God, I'm nowhere near that anymore. But the times when life did get struggle in the past 8 years, I followed that plan and God kind of did the rest, keeping me here. So
Wow. I'm so happy to hear that. For people who are experiencing that, you know, this voice, the ideation, maybe it's not an audible voice, but, you know, this message, do it, do it, do it, like he was saying. I told him what I firmly believe, and that is that that's the message from the devil. I don't even know how to ask the question. For someone who's in the midst of that, does that realization just sort of bounce off, or does it help? Did it help you if you did that, where you just say, I know this is not from God, I'm not going to listen to that? Or are people kind of powerless to be able to push it away that way? What was your experience?
So for me, I unfortunately was not near the Lord at the time. I was not practicing my faith, and I was actually in college. But I know that is something that my dad kept saying. And even though I wasn't practicing my faith, I just remember praying and crying out to God. And while it didn't necessarily stop the voice completely, I know without a doubt the Lord heard me, because what anybody else could see is random circumstance. The right people ran into me at the right time and kind of opened up a conversation that I didn't know I needed to have, which led to me actually getting the help I needed. So, I would say like it is a good awareness, and I think it's a seed planted. So maybe in the exact moment, it may not, I mean, hearing it in the exact moment, it may not be like, oh, okay, that's the devil, you know, but I think it does help to know.
That's good. Well, I'm so happy that things are sunny and well for you right now, Rachel. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for listening. Wow. So much pain and burdens out there, isn't there? So all the more reason to pray for everybody. We'll be right back with hour three right after this.